For this morning's meditation, let's turn and read together from the book of Esther in the Old Testament and read chapter number 6. Esther, chapter number 6.
Čitaće se iz Staroga Zaveta iz knjige o Jestiri, glava 6.
On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai, the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to go to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but thou shalt surely fall before him." And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
Our gracious God, our Father, who art in heaven, we kneel before thee in this morning, having assembled together in thy house of worship, with those of a like precious faith, with our children, with our friends. We thank thee for this opportunity. We thank thee for the day that thou hast given unto us, a day of rest, a day where we could spend it together around thy word in fellowship one with another, with our families. And Lord, we're thankful for those opportunities. And pray that those opportunities would not be wasted upon us, but that, Lord, we would build our trust in thee, and that our relationships one with another would grow in Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thy word today would have its free course through each of our hearts, that, Lord, it would bring forth the fruit that is desired. We see in this morning, in the message that we have read, in the word that we have read, a clear picture of the heart of an unregenerated man who thinks of himself and only himself and how to promote himself and and even at the expense of others and the jealousy that surrounds a heart that is unregenerate. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thy word would impress upon us, that Thou, Lord Jesus, would impress upon us that to be a child of Thine, we are to have a transformed heart, one that is regenerated and born again, new in its totality in Christ Jesus, one that loves the Lord and loves one another and will sacrifice oneself for the good of others, never promoting oneself, but always, O Lord, looking so that others would be blessed and others would be nourished and fed and clothed and whatever, O Lord, Thou art able to give unto us that we could share with those around us. O Lord, that we would take our delight in those things because that is the heart of Thine, O Lord. Lord, we think about the struggles that we all have. And Lord, there are many who have assembled together here in this morning. And Lord, we come from various ages and various positions in our lives and various struggles. And Lord, Thou knowest each and every one of us, and Thou knowest our struggles, and we pray, O Lord, that Thou would grant unto us the strength and that which is needed, that we could face each day anew with a hope that lies in Thee. Lord, realizing that we are in this flesh, we are very in tune with our bodies, with those things that we feel. And each one of us, O Lord, at some time or of other, have felt the ailments of flesh, the illnesses that and sicknesses that befalls us, O Lord. We know, O Lord, that Thou desirest that we would put our petitions unto Thee, that Thou, O Lord, art one who will hear us. And Lord, give unto us that which we need. We see an example of the Apostle Paul who prayed for the thorn that was in his flesh, that he prayed fervently for the removal of it. And Lord, Thy response was that Thy grace is sufficient. Lord, may each one of us feel that. We especially bring our dear sister Lubitsa in prayer unto Thee this morning, as she had faced surgery in the past. And Lord, Thou was watchful over her and has brought her through that. And yet complications arise, and Lord, we are frail, and we're in this flesh, and we pray, O Lord, that Thou continue to grant healing, and Thou give unto her the healing that will, O Lord, cause each one of us, as we have prayed and felt the struggles of this flesh, that we would overcome those things, that Thou would grant unto her the grace that is needed. It can only come from Thee, O Lord, that our full confidence and our trust would always be in Thee. Lord, we know Thou hast seen many of us through various ailments, O Lord, and we thank Thee, O Lord, for that which Thou hast provided unto us, and Lord, that Thou hast made us feel that indeed Thy grace is sufficient for each of us, that Thou will never leave us, Thou will never forsake us, but Thou art ever present. No matter whatever falls upon us and the struggles that we face, O Lord, that we would never feel despondent or alone or forsaken, O Lord, but we would rejoice in heart in knowing that Thou and Thy omnipotence and power are with us always. It is a promise that Thou hast given. It is a promise that needs to give us comfort each and every day. Lord, we also pray for those who are facing surgeries, O Lord, that they're watching over them. We know that many things could take place. There's infections and many things that could take place during those times. O Lord, we simply ask, O Lord, that Thou would be with each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that Thou would impress upon us the ailments that can plague our soul, our spirit, that we would be as in tune with those things also, O Lord, as we are so in tune with the things that ail us in the flesh. O Lord, the sin which does so easily beset us and rob us of the blessings that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask, O Lord, that our focus would always be in being holy and faithful and have the mind of Christ, O Lord. These are the things that thou hast called us to. Thou hast never called us unto things that we cannot attain or perform or do, O Lord, but we know that the strength comes from thee. And we pray, O Lord, that we would avail ourselves to the power of God within us to live lives that are holy and pure in thy sight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless our children who have come together with us in this day. That would bless each and every one of them, O Lord, as they grow. As, Lord, we, as parents, have done in our frail attempts and what we could to impress upon them, O Lord, the love of Jesus Christ, that thou, Lord, would lead them and take them by the hand and guide them, and through the struggles of growing up into adulthood and so on, O Lord. And even as they enter into adulthood, O Lord, the struggles continue and they multiply, O Lord, but may they find their solace and their rest and their life in thee, Lord Jesus. It's a joy that none of the predicaments of this life can take away from us. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would impress it upon their young hearts and guide them and walk with them. Lord, we know with us also in this morning are those, O Lord, who have heard the gospel message for years. Lord, we're thankful for the thought that thou hast given unto them in this morning to assemble with us. For they are within hearing of thy gospel. They are here to hear. Lord, we know that it is the power of God, the gospel. It alone, thou alone, O Lord, art able to change hearts and bring them unto repentance and into life of service unto thee, O Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that thou would be with them every moment and remind them, O Lord, may thy word prick the hearts of all, O Lord, who are still lost and without thee. O Lord, we know we have all felt that the comforts of this life take us away from thee. O Lord, that should not be so. But in life or in death, we should always be close to thee. And we pray, O Lord, that thou would never allow the beggarly elements of this life, O Lord, to rob us of the blessings that could be found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. To bless our coming together, O Lord, we need thee. We need thee every hour. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would illuminate our souls with thy gospel and bring us unto closer walk with thee. We ask these favors in Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Redeemer's name, now and forever. Amen.
In God's timing, he felt that it was necessary to send his Son here upon this earth in flesh and blood and deliver unto each and every one of us his word and his desire for all mankind. And so Jesus, willing to take up that responsibility and to do what God would have him to do, came here upon this earth, and he brought forth the message that God would have him to bring. He didn't bring forth his own word, Jesus says, but he brought forth the word of God. And so he proclaimed that to all mankind. He selected disciples, men who were simply men. They weren't special of themselves. And he proclaimed God's word, and he spoke God's word to all mankind, to the disciples and to all mankind there of the Jews that were present in Israel at that time. And one of the things that Jesus proclaimed to them in speaking to them and in teaching them was, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And he spoke these words to the multitude, to those that were on the hillside there as he proclaimed the Sermon on the Mount. And he brought forth this truth, and we understand this truth, and we look at and we read through that, and we see, yes, that's very true. We should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And Jesus speaks forth that truth. But there are too many times when we look at that truth, that one in particular, and simply pass through it, or think, yes, there's value there, and that's good, but it goes deeper, and we need to really write that indelibly upon our hearts, because this is a truth of Jesus Christ that Jesus brought forth as the Word of God. And so he proclaimed that word, that whatever we would want men to do to us, we should do even so to them. And this is the law and the prophets. This is fulfilling all that the law would say. So when the law said, do not, against your neighbor, do not defraud, do not covet, do not bear false witness, don't commit adultery, don't murder, all these things, we're not doing to them things that would destroy them and even ourselves. But Jesus comes and he says, do unto others that which you would have them do unto you. So in a sense, Jesus is teaching, do something positive for somebody. And by doing something positive for somebody to their benefit, we by default then fulfill the law. Because then if we're doing something good for someone, if we're encouraging them, if we're lending them a helping hand, if we're doing something for them, giving unto them something, then by default, we're not defrauding them. We're not stealing from them. We're not murdering them. We're not doing these evil things. And so as this truth is played out in this story that we read this morning, we see that has power. See, when a truth is taught, and we see a truth, and we see something, and it's written like on a PowerPoint, and it's a bullet, well, we see that and we say, yeah, that's true. And we walk away from there and we forget it. It just didn't make a lasting impact on us. We acknowledge it as truth, but when we simply just see it, it's not written indelibly upon our hearts, not written with great impact on our hearts. And so Jesus, as he taught, he used parables, he used stories to proclaim a truth. He did that on many occasions, and we know that to be true, that Jesus used parables or stories to convey a spiritual truth. And those stories made impact on those, even the common people that were there, as they were shepherds, and he taught them about being a shepherd, or he brought a truth about the kingdom of God through that teaching. And so here we have a story of a man from the Old Testament that failed in this. In one aspect, he tried to do it, but he failed in that. And then we can see that in this story, that truth of Jesus Christ, when he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, we see that played out here in a manner that's pretty profound. Haman was invited to have a banquet with simply the king and the queen. Haman had rose the ranks. He excelled above all others of his peers, above all the other princesses, above all the other chamberlains and those other servants that were in the king's palace there. He rose in ranks above them all. And now he was invited by the queen to have a banquet with just him and the king and queen. And so he goes home and he tells his wife Zeresh and his friends there, and he tells them about all the glory that he had. He was joyful and he had a glad heart. And he went and he told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all of the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he advanced him above the princes and the princes and the servants of the king. And he tells them all these good things that happened to him. And he says, yeah, and more and beyond that, I'm having a banquet with the king and the queen, just me and them. And so he's relishing in this. The Bible says that he was of a joyful heart. He had a glad heart. But then he says, but these things don't mean anything, because that Mordecai, he won't bow to me as I pass by him, as the king gave commandment for everybody else to do. He won't do it. And I'm full of wrath and indignation because Mordecai won't bow before me as I pass by him in the king's gate. And so they devise a plan, and Zeresh and his wise men says, well, just build a gallows and hang Mordecai on there, and then just go ahead and go merrily to your banquet that you'll have with the king and the queen. So this was the advice that was given unto him. And then God, in his beautiful way of how he orchestrates events and how the timing of everything just falls perfectly in time, it says that on that night, in that first verse that we read, on that night, God's working, God's planning, God's orchestrating of events. And we see that to happen in our lives as well, that we marvel at, well, the timing of all these things it was really something. When we reflect back on events perhaps that have happened in our lives that were of more significance. And so the Bible says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And again, God working specifically. God didn't allow King Ahasuerus to sleep. The chronicles were brought to him, not any chronicles, not from 10 years ago or another time frame, but the specific chronicle of a time when Mordecai spared the king's life. And so God was working in these things, and that's beautiful. Praise be to God for how he works and how he does things. And so this chronicle, this event that happened, it says here that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains and the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And so this event was chronicled and spoken to the king, and he was reminded of that. And here it is, that here's an example of Mordecai doing unto the king as he would like the king to do for him. Mordecai told the king of an assassination plot. And so Mordecai was doing what Jesus Christ taught, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so Mordecai did that, and it's recorded here as thus. As the king's reflecting on this, he says, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? And the servants say, well, nothing was done. And so the king's making a plan, and he wants to do something for Mordecai. And he says, Who's out there in the court? And they say, well, Haman's out there in the court. And he says, bring him in. And so Haman comes in. And says unto the king says unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? And so again, the king orchestrating the events through the king, and Haman, he thinks in his heart again, perhaps a lot of messages could be spoken on this chapter and a bunch of different lessons of life could be spoken of the truths of God's word, and the thoughts that came to Haman's could be a sermon of itself. And so, but Haman had these thoughts in his heart, and so he says, well, to whom would the king delight to honor than more to myself? And so he's thinking, well, I want praise to be lavished on me. I want something very good to be done unto me. And so that's part of the teaching of Jesus when he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He wanted for himself for praise to be lavishly given unto him. And so that was the one part of the teaching, but he failed in the other part. And can we imagine how it was that I'm not sure how the timing was, if this was still in the nighttime, because it says that the king couldn't sleep. But whatever the timing was, here it was that Haman's coming to the king, and he's in the court of the king. And he certainly had to pass by Mordecai as he's coming to the king's court, as he passes through the king's gate. Certainly Haman's thinking in his heart, okay, you're not bowing to me as I pass by you, but we got a construction project going on where we're building some gallows for you. And so surely that's a theme that was in his heart. And so Haman's here now, and he's being asked by the king what should be done as honor, as a form of honor to someone, and so he's thinking in his heart, well, who does the king want to who does the king delight in, or who does he want to honor more than myself? He promoted me above all the other princesses. He promoted me above everyone else, so surely he's got me on his mind, and so I'm going to be lavish. I'm gonna bring it all out and let it be a great honor and a great dignity. And so Haman answers the king for whom the king delighteth to honor, and he goes on and says, you know, well, let him wear your clothes that you used to wear, and the horse that you ride, and the crown that you wear, and let one of the most noble of the princes array this person with your clothing, and let that noble prince take that person on his horse through the streets and say, this is what happens to the person that the king likes to delight. And so again, Haman's thinking, well, this is going to happen to me. This is what's going to happen for me. But the king says, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, and that sitteth in the king's gate, and let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Haman, as we prayed together, he was a degenerate man. He was unregenerated. He was thinking about himself. He wanted all this praise to be lavished on himself. He was in delight that he was going to have this banquet with just him and the king and the queen. He was above all the other princes. He was the man. He thought that he had all these good things, and that he was now going to be walked through the streets on the king's horse with the king's crown on his head, being proclaimed. This is what's done of unto the man that the king delighteth to honor. But Haman, he was degenerate, and he only thought about himself. He didn't want to do this for Mordecai, and certainly he was crestfallen. Truly his countenance fell when he heard from the king, yes, that's a good plan. Haman, you came up with a good plan, let's do that. And you do that to Mordecai. And he didn't say just Mordecai, he said Mordecai the Jew, the race that you want to extinguish. And perhaps even at this time, the king wasn't even aware that Haman had this plan in place. And so surely Haman was crestfallen, and his countenance fell. But yet he did it, as he was obliged to do it. And he arrayed Mordecai, and think of the anguish that had to have had in his proud heart, the man that wouldn't bow to him as he passed by, that man that just wouldn't honor him. Now I have to honor him? I intended to kill him in the next day, but now I'm honoring him. And so it was that at this point, Haman began to fall. And so as we consider this truth, that Jesus had proclaimed that, therefore, in all things, Haman was to do this in all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And so this truth is given unto us that we would follow thereafter and do it likewise, that we would have a heart that would love all and not as Haman who despised Mordecai. And we grow in this. None of us have this mastered, that we would simply in all things do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We don't have this mastered on the day of our baptism. We grow, and we continuously grow. And we grow more in that, and we find the blessings of God in that, that when we do unto others as we would have them do unto us, we create an atmosphere of trust. We can we create an atmosphere of upliftment, of encouragement. when we do that. And so the scriptures say, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And so the law said, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, don't covet anything that your neighbor has, don't murder your neighbor, don't defraud him, don't lie against him, don't commit adultery. And so again, if love works no ill to his neighbor, love would never do any of these things to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's a fulfillment of the law. Again, Jesus said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For thus, if you fulfill the law and the prophets. That is the law and the prophets. And so here it's saying, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And in Galatians we also read, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so Jesus here is teaching, whatever you want men, and that's men in general, not specifically only believers, but men in general, whatever you would want them to do to you, do ye likewise unto them. And so love is a fulfilling of the law. And the law is fulfilled all in one word, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we look at that, we think, okay, that's a fulfilling of the law. And we know that all the law could be boiled down to two commandments, loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And so we know that we're fulfilling the law when we love our neighbor as ourself. Are any of our neighbors perfect? Absolutely not. Not one of them, in fact, are perfect. Not one of our neighbors are perfect. But the Bible says, love them anyway. Mordecai wasn't perfect, but Haman was to love him anyway. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's what the Bible says about your neighbor. That's what the Bible says about your neighbor. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. But love him anyway. That's what the Bible says. They are all together become unprofitable. They're all useless. All of our neighbors, in one sense, are useless. They're of no benefit to us in some sense because they'll fail. They'll fail. They'll transgress. And so in one sense, none of our neighbors are profitable. They're all useless. But the Bible says, love them anyway. God loved us. We were unprofitable to him. We were useless to God, but he loved us anyway. All the disciples, they saw the miracles of Jesus Christ. They heard his teachings. They said amen to all of that. They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And they said, I will never leave you. And within a few hours, all the disciples forsook and fled him. There is none righteous, no, not one. But the Bible says that we ought to love one another. And so when Jesus says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For thus is that you fulfill the law and the prophets. And so, what is it that we should do to our neighbor who's not perfect? What is it? Jesus teaches, and he brings forth the word of God, and he says, be merciful, and it will be shown mercy unto you. If you show mercy, mercy will be shown unto you. If you forgive, forgiveness will be shown unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't condemn, don't judge, show mercy, show love. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. If we do this, the kingdom of God will be built up. The kingdom of God will be nourished and will be strong. The Bible says that we should be slow to speak and swift to hear. We should lend a hearing ear to those who have a concern or a burden on their heart. We should be slow to speak at that moment and simply allow a listening ear to such a one, even as we would like that to be done for us. And we all grow in this. And I find myself, I freely admit, that I'm growing in this. None of us are perfect in this. We're growing in this. And so there were others that had a beautiful example of doing unto others as they would have them do unto themselves. Think of Ruth. Her husband had died, and Naomi says, I'm going back to her mother-in-law. Naomi says, I'm going back to my land. And Ruth says, I'm coming with you. And Naomi says, no, you just stay here. I have nothing left. I have no more sons to give you, or I have nothing left to give you. But Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. It was a beautiful display of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. There was nothing that Naomi had. There was no more value in Naomi to Ruth. There was nothing more that Ruth could benefit from Naomi. But yet Ruth went with Naomi anyway, back to Israel. And so we see this truth as it's played out. And I believe that we all can grow in this, and we can all benefit from this teaching of Jesus Christ when he says that do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We can say, well, I haven't defrauded my neighbor. I haven't lied. I haven't stolen from him. I don't covet the things he has. I haven't done these things. I have not done the negatives. Okay, maybe I haven't done some positives for him, but I haven't done the negatives for him, and I'm neutral. God doesn't want us to be neutral. God sent his son here below to teach us that his will for us is that we ought to do for others what we would have them do unto us. And so in James' epistle, he says that, therefore, to him to know to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And so we commit sin when we don't do good. We commit sin. Just as if we were to defraud somebody or steal from them, that would be considered sin. Just as the same applies that if we don't do something good for someone and it's within our capacity to do that good, that's sin. The Bible says so. That's sin. And so again, I think we can grow in this, in that we can say that we're free from guilt on not doing some evil things to people. But I think we all have the opportunity to grow in the sense that when we have an opportunity to do something good for someone, that we should do that. So if Jesus were standing here right now and he tells us, so-and-so, I want you to go do this for this person right now, we would gladly do it. We would gladly do it because Jesus told us to do it and we want to do it. Well, Jesus speaks in our hearts through his word. And when we have an opportunity to do something for the least of his brethren, we're doing it unto Jesus. We're doing it unto his as service to him. And so love your neighbor as yourself is played out in our lives quite often, quite often. And so there are times when the word speaks to us to do something good and we refuse it, we're not fulfilling what God would have us to fulfill. So may he grant unto us, each and every one of us, grace that we would do what Jesus would have us to do. Because when we do it unto others, we're doing it unto him. And we're building the kingdom. And we're granting grace and forgiveness and mercy and building his kingdom. So may God grant unto each and every one grace to fulfill what Jesus would have us to fulfill. Amen.
The Jews were far away from their Lord. They were in a foreign land. They were out of his will. But the Lord was still with them. They were the apple of his eye. And Mordecai touched them. And Zeresh, his wife, told him and his friends, "You went against Mordecai. You will not prevail. You're doomed." The very wife that told him, "Build those gallows for Mordecai," didn't tell him, "Repent then or now." Mordecai was so filled with himself, he didn't know what repentance was. All he knew was himself. And so, dear ones, we see God working in this story. We see God working with those who were far away from him, but yet he didn't leave them alone. He still called them unto him. Dear ones, are we far away from God? God doesn't reject us. God doesn't want any man to perish in his sins. God is calling us to repentance. Come back to him. The brother tied in the golden rule, as it's known, very beautifully with this story. The brother mentioned it in Serbian too, brought that point out. And in there, dear ones, we can see that if we lose sight of the needs of others, we have lost our love. James tells us, if your brother or sister is destitute and has a need of food and clothing, and you hear it and you tell him to depart in peace. In other words, "I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you, brother." But you have it to give to him and you don't. That's sin. It's sin. It means you have no love. It means you don't have Christ. And yet, we call upon him and we assemble, but our hearts are far away from him. Man likes to change up what God has established. And they feel it is sufficient, as Brother John alluded to that, but don't do unto others what you don't want them to do unto you. And so we think, just by not doing bad things, that we are okay. Well, look, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't wish this person any. Just, I'm not doing to them what I don't want them to do to me. That's not the law of God. The law of God is do. Be proactive. Do the things that is in your power to do. If I have a need and you can't meet that need, you're not guilty. You're not guilty. God never holds someone guilty who can't do what someone is in need of. But if it's in my power, it's in your power to do, and we don't, it's sin. And so, dear ones, we see Haman was so filled with himself that he could not see anything else. Blinded by power, blinded by pride, blinded by the things that were seen temporally, and he lost his life. We look at that story and we would say that's what he deserved. But, dear ones, what do we deserve? And so the Lord is calling us. He's calling us to him. Learn of me. Paul says, faith, hope, and charity. The greatest is charity. We sang these hymns of charity, of love. Why is love the greatest? Because God is love. And love goes from this side of the grave and carries over into the other side. Love is eternal. Faith will go away when we see Hope will not be there when we are present with him, but love endures forever. And so, dear ones, may we be brought into the love of Christ, into who he is, and learn of him and his ways, and love him with all our hearts. Amen.